Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy from the 8th District, the congressman who always picks up the phone when we call, joins us. You might have seen video of him trying to enter an ICE facility in the Loop. And ICE now claims they have the power to deny a request or otherwise cancel, reschedule, or terminate a tour or visit by lawmakers if their staff seems fit. That's not what federal law permits. It permits you to visit, right, Raja?
100%. And thanks for having me on. Just to kind of give a little bit of background, essentially ICE summoned hundreds, if not thousands, of people by text message, including on Father's Day, to report to an ICE facility in the South Loop for a check-in. They called it quote-unquote check-in to build their status, continue with their asylum case and so forth, asylum cases. And people dutifully responded. They actually came in, including on Father's Day, and they got snatched by ICE agents. They got separated from their families, and in many cases, the families did not hear from them. The people did not have counsel with them. We called to inquire. Nobody responded to our call, so I just showed up at the ICE station myself, and Jonathan Jackson accompanied me. We then proceeded to meet with a masked ICE agent. I asked for his identification, his badge. He refused. He then called the CPD to evict me and Jonathan as trespassers from the facility.
Okay, here's my concern. My latest concern is the man who's been in the States. This is a California case, but just to show you that this is not just getting rid of the bad apples as we were promised. This right. man has been in the States for decades. Two of his sons are active Marines. One is a Marine veteran, and they plucked him out, pulled him off the street, tackled him, and even his sons, who are active Marines, do not have access to him. Who owns these facilities? Not the one in the South Loop that's been there, but where these so-called bad guys are being shipped to. Who owns them, and who's in charge of them?
It's a good question, and that's in part why we've been asking ICE the questions that we've been asking. They haven't been forthcoming. Can I just mention one other thing about the South Loop facility, which is a very moving kind of moment for me? When we went in, it turned out that there were two people clad in uniform who showed up outside the facility. And I didn't know who they were. I had no idea whether they had been maybe called by the facility or what. I went outside, and it turns out that these two men were actually brothers in the Illinois National Guard, and their mother had been summoned to that facility. And the reason they came was because they wanted to guard their mother. They wanted to make sure that she would not be snatched by ICE. And so it's just so moving to me that these two people who are serving their country, who are in uniform, have to come personally to the ICE station or ICE facility to protect their own mom. What has this come to? We want a country where we have a legal operating immigration system. We need to secure our borders. That goes without saying. But to me, it's un-American to have people summoned by text message and then snatched off the streets, and then have people, like you said, who are in uniform, worried that their mom or dad or relative would suffer the same fate. That's not right.
Congressman, I want to shift gears a little bit because we've got some breaking developments when it comes to the intelligence committees in the Congress. And the Trump administration saying this afternoon that they may begin withholding some information from the Congress. Of course, this comes from the defense assessment of Iran. Congressman McCaul, the chair of a couple of committees on the Republican side, says it's a bad idea. You sit on the Intelligence Committee. What do you make of this?
I think it's a horrible idea. I think this is just a sign that, unfortunately, they're trying to hide something from us. They're trying to hide something from the American people. And when they do things like this, it just raises more questions than it answers, especially about what's happened in this situation.
McCaul said he thinks the leak probably came from the executive branch anyway. You sit on those committees. You get those reports. How did this information get out to the number of reporters that it did yesterday?
I have no idea. But what I do know is that there are a lot of people who are very concerned about the president and his characterization of the situation. And I don't know who could have possibly shared this information. I don't think we should ever share classified information, but I do think that the president needs to level with the American people about the state of the situation in Iran.
Did you have access to that report yesterday?
I can't get into classified information, but I have now reviewed a number of products from the defense establishment as well as the intelligence community. So I have a much better understanding of what's happened. And again, I think that the president needs to be more candid. He said that the Iran nuclear program was obliterated. And then this morning, he has said that the situation is inconclusive. And so my concern is this, which is Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. It just can't. We can't allow that to happen. Now is the time that we have to return to the bargaining table. We have to get to the negotiating table and do everything possible to ensure that they don't have a nuclear weapon.
I'm going to keep moving along here because there's a lot to cover and we're going to break. But tell the audience a little bit about what this defense assessment report is. I mean, I think it's typically done after an operation, but a lot of us don't know much about it until now.
I can't talk about this particular report.
Well, no, but you don't have to tell me what's in it. Yeah.
Yes, I can tell you generally what these are. Essentially, what happens is that an agency goes and actually tries to assess what has actually been damaged, whether the target that was intended to be destroyed has been destroyed, or what exactly is the assessment of the situation. And they use a number of different ways of estimating that. And so that is routine, and, you know, to their credit, the military does this with a lot of precision, and they do this on a pretty routine basis for all types of actions.
If that report did come out of the Congress, does the president have a point? Hey, maybe we shouldn't be sharing this the way we do?
Well, first of all, I think that the president and the intelligence community always needs to share intelligence with the Congress, because we are the ones who are supposed to provide oversight. And I think that with regard to this particular situation of the leak, it has to be investigated. But at the same time, you know, the president needs to share information with Congress in order for it to do its job. But most importantly, he's got to level with the American people, too, about what's happened. And it looks like he's backing away in his public statements. As you can tell from this morning, he said it was not obliterated, or he said, I use that word because someone else used that word. I think the intelligence is inconclusive, in his own words, on whether or not the mission had been achieved.
Well, I think he's doubling down again and talking about the Israeli intelligence saying that it was destroyed. So he's back on that track now. I'm sorry,
Congressman,
Lisa.
I really want to ask about three things that bother me. I struggle with the term big, beautiful bill, but the three things I'm most bothered by are the sale of public lands, the Hearing Protection Act, which makes it easier to buy a silencer, and the 10-year moratorium in AI regulation. Are those three items still in that bill?
So that's in the Senate. It looks like it is in the in parts of the bill, but it looks like parts of it are now being taken out, like the sale of public lands. I think the Senate parliamentarian has removed that. I think that with regard to the other two, they may still be in the bill. But gosh, this big, beautiful bill, I call it a large, lousy law, Lisa. It is a horrible, terrible, awful bill. Why? Because essentially, Medicaid gets cut to the tune of $625 billion, leaving tens of millions of Americans without health insurance, including at least 700,000 Illinoisans. It also cuts food assistance and food stamps, now known as SNAP. I'm a product of food stamps and public housing, so that's personal to me. And then it also cuts educational and housing assistance in order all to fund tax cuts for the wealthiest among us. That is wrong, and I believe that we need to hold people accountable who are going to support it.
And it would get no support from our Illinois senators. And by the way, good luck on your Senate run. So do we as citizens, if we oppose this, do we call other Senate offices in states where they might be supporting this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And we have three members of Congress in Illinois who are Republicans who currently, I believe, all voted for the bill in the House. And remember, the margin, I believe, in the House was one vote, Lisa. And so even reaching out to your three representatives here who voted for it in the House could make all the difference when whatever comes out of the Senate comes back to the House for passage.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Congressman.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you.